The last 18 shiurim, we've been discussing cases where we don't have to return an aveda. Right? We had the five cases where you're allowed to keep it, five cases where you cannot keep it, but you don't have to return it. And last week we said to make sure, before you do anything, make sure that it's really an aveda. Make sure the person really lost that object that you're picking up, and it's not that he just left it there and planning on getting it when he comes back. And we had the different rules depending on where you found it. We said, we'll come up again tonight, we said there were three different types of places where you could find something. If you find a place where it's completely guarded, and it didn't have to be under lock and key, it meant that a place where, the example of the Mishnah was, a garbage heap where people would stick something, or in a nook and cranny in a wall, where you see the knife there, didn't fall there, the person obviously put it there on his way to shul or something, and he's going to pick it up on the way back. So that's not an aveda, that's not something that's lost, that's something someone put it there. Or, like we said, the more contemporary case was the supplies in front of the makola that they deliver the bread and the eggs and they keep it there on the street. That's not an aveda to, you know, take them all home and call up the makola and say, I found your aveda. Or they smedge where people keep their tefillin, like don't go around collecting all the talasim in the shul and you know, call the people, I found you, because you left it there. It's on purpose. It's not an aveda. If it was a place that's slightly guarded, and that depends, it does make a difference if it's a simon or not, we don't touch it. If it was a place that is only a little bit guarded, like a path in a field where not many people go, but it's not so protected, so there we said if it has a simon, take it, because it might be an aveda, and he'd appreciate you announcing it. He'll just find out when you announce it with the simon. And if it does not have a simon, so then we say you should leave it there, because there is a possibility that he did leave it there on purpose, and by you taking it home, you're foiling his plans, because it has no simon, he'll never be able to claim it. There's no way of proving that it's his, because there's no identifying mark on it. And if there is the chance that he left it there on purpose, so you're supposed to leave it there. And finally, we said that if it was a place that's not guarded at all, you see that he was waiting for the bus, and he had left some packages on the bench, and when he got up, he forgot them. So there it depends. If it has a simon, so then you should announce it. It's a regular aveda. And if it has no simon, if we can assume that he realized that he lost it and he's since given up hope on it, so then you're allowed to keep it. That was the rule, to know when is something an aveda, when is something not an aveda. Now from now on, we're going to talk about things that are definitely avedas, and they don't fit into any of the 10 different types of cases where you don't have to return. We're talking about, you found, tonight we'll talk about where you were walking into shul and you found a coat in the parking lot. So it's a place where it's mostly Jews and it probably belongs to a Jew, and the coat has a simon on it. It has initials probably, and it wasn't there for a long time. It wasn't swept away by the tide brought over there, you know, from across the sea. It was something that, and it's not a really muddy, so it's not a problem covered and you taking it away, and it's not muktzah on Shabbos, and it's not any of these problems that could come from. It's worth more than a pruta. It's all the good things that should make you want to return it, and you didn't. You wanted to get in time for minyan, or you didn't want to bother with it, and then you went home and said, oh, I feel a little bit bad, I saw a coat in the parking lot over there, and I forgot that I didn't bring it in. And your friend Shimon said, what did it look like? So, oh, it's my coat. And Shimon goes running into the parking lot to find the place where he said it, that it was, and he sees it's gone. And so by Reuven not returning the coat, by not picking up the coat to announce it, it got lost. So the question is Reuven liable to pay Shimon for damages for the loss of his coat? That's tonight. Now, the Gemara talks about there's three different mitzvahs or aveiros, depending how you look at it, associated with returning an aveda. There is a, the Torah says, when you see someone's object, visalamta losira, don't see someone's object, visalamta, and hide yourself from, refrain from returning it. Right? That's one mitzvah. It's a mitzvah los, I'll say, don't refrain, losira, don't refrain from returning it, because again, losucha lisalam, you're not allowed to refrain from returning an object. Don't hide yourself and say, oh, I don't see it, you know, make believe you don't see it when you really saw it. there's a mitzvah aseh of hashev teshivim. You have to return an object that you find. It's a positive commandment to return it. And then there's a third problem that could be possible, and that's if you take the object and steal it, so then there's the old mitzvah of lo sigzol. You're not allowed to steal. But you see someone's object that we're talking once again, an object that you're supposed to return, that you can't keep, you cannot keep, and you do take it for yourself, so then you have lo sigzol. And that's what Rava says, Amar Rava, Ra selish enafla. If you see someone who lost a selah, and there's different ways of understanding it, we'll say that there's a simon on it, or there's a simon on the wallet that's on it, that it's in. So you saw someone lost a selah. So netala lifneyeyu shamanasal gozla, if you took it before the owner realized that he had lost it, and you were planning on stealing it, over the kulan, and you violated all three possible averus. Number one, you violated lo sigzol. There's lo sigzol, you stole. Umishum hoshe teshivim, you've also violated the positive mitzvah, so hoshe teshivim, that you're supposed to return an object that you find. And number three, mishum osufa lesalim, you violated the negative mitzvah of you are not allowed to hide yourself from returning it.
I'm not trying to understand the words here. Ra selah shenafla. Did he actually see the selah fall from his pocket?
From the owner, yeah. He knows whose it is.
I mean, so he actually saw it.
Right.
Okay.
He saw it, so.
Which is different than he actually saw a selah laying on.
Right. Yeah. He saw that it fell from the owner, and that's where we'll see that. You know, how do we say that people usually look in their pockets? So here we can know that. You know, Rashi's going to explain that it's talking this before years. She saw that the person hadn't realized that he lost it yet, and he's trying to steal it. So he violated all three of Eirus. But Afal Gad the Chazul Achar Yeyush, even if he returns it after Yeyush, right? He waits a couple weeks and then he does tshuva and says, I stole this thing and he really lost it. I'll give it back to him. Matanuhu the Yahivle. What he did was he gave the person a present. The Isur David Avad, the Isur, the prohibition, the violation that he did is done. He can't erase it. So that's what Rava says, that if someone takes something before Yush in order to steal it, he's violated all three Avevas. Even if he does tshuva afterwards, if he does tshuva, this is what the Achron, the Poskin, point out. If he does tshuva right away before the owner realizes that he lost it, so then that erases everything, right? So what, he picked it up initially to steal, but right now all's well that ends well. He returned it to him before he gave up hope on it, and there's no problem. But if he returned it to him after the person gave up hope, what happens when a person gives up hope on something that he lost? We learned that yiyush is like, it's not exactly hefker, but in a way it's like hefker. It's like he loses his ownership of it. Or when someone gives up hope on an object that he lost, when he has yush, so now it's no longer his. So now it belongs to this thief, and if they're robbed, it's his object now. And there's no mitzvah anymore to return it, because now the owner's already given up hope on it. So if he returns it, he's giving him a present, but there's no obligation for him to do so, and there's nothing he can do about having stolen that object.
Isn't there some concept of human
gzeila
or something like that that operates here?
Yeah, he acquires it.
But a gozlan acquires what?
Yeah, so a gozlan, we'll see the difference between a gozlan and here, we'll see soon. Now, Tosis has a kasha, right, based on what you're asking. Tosis says a thief. So what do you want to say? He's a thief. Now, someone steals something and holds it, and the person gives up hope. It's not his anymore. There's still a mitzvah for him to return what he stole. There's always a mitzvah. Heishiv is like Zeila. Because it's Mizrahi from Kulim. That there's always a mitzvah to return something that you stole. So Tosas asks, so why isn't there a mitzvah over here to return it as well? And Tosas says, you're right. The Gemara is lav dafka here. When the Gemara says he has no obligation to return it, and it's only he's giving back a present, that's only referring to the mitzvah of Losuchol Hisalim. There's that mitzvah that says you're not allowed to hide yourself from picking up an object and returning it. So that he's violated, and there's no way of getting that back, because he took it to steal it, and by the time he decided to return it, the person gave up hope and it wasn't his anymore. So that's
that's gone. But the mitzvah of los digzal he is able to fix by returning it, and the mitzvah of hashiv teshivim, return it, he's also returning it now. So that's what Tosu says. This should be no worse than theft, where if you steal someone's thing, if someone steals something, he always has a mitzvah to return it. And that is a called a lav hanitak la'asei. It's a lav that's attached to an asei that will undo that mitzvah. So the same thing will be over here. It's no worse than a common thief. He was planning on stealing it, but if he does right at the end and gives it back, he has corrected the aveira of theft and a hashiv teshivim. And what the Gemara means that the isur that is done, that means the isur of lo suchol hisali, of you're not supposed to hide yourself, withhold yourself from returning a lost object. That's what Tosus holds. Tosus holds that he is doing that. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban disagrees with Tosus. The Ramban Muhammad and the Shita brings it. I printed out from the Shita. It's easier, it's a better lashon there. Because the Tosus comes out a little bit difficult. The Gemara says, the first part Tosus says, okay, be sure David of it, isur that he did. So he doesn't mean all three, he means just one of them. He did the one isur that he did, he can't correct the other two, he can. But the Gemara also said, Matana, he's giving him a present. Mm-hmm. He's giving him a present, what kind of present is that? He's obligated to return it to him because he has to return the thing that he stole. So the Ramban says that the case of an aveda is different than a case of a theft. Because by a theft, there's a halacha, there's no din of yush by a theft. By theft, if someone steals something from you, even though you've given up hope of ever recovering it, that just means it could be he doesn't have to return the exact object that he stole, but he always has to replace the value of that object. A thief is never putter from returning something. Even though the owner gives up hope, he still has to at least return his value. Right, the Ramban says, Avagav delav de gzela nitak lasei hani mila gzela gereda. Right, there's a nitak lasei, you can return the gzela. That's talking just regular theft. Shela olamein en nignis kol kach shelo yinei milchuyav vashavas demehel. There's never a point when someone steals something that he'll be parted from even returning its value. Hilchot v'efer ki masa gzela adamim mikayim lei lasei manatei glav. When he returns that object that he stole, or at least the replacement value, he has fulfilled the positive mitzvah of returning that theft and that stolen object, and he undoes the lav. Avul hacha, but over here din aveda pasuk. But here we're talking about a lost object. Aveda he. This is an aveda. Aveda lachayish nipnis lagami. There's a rule that if someone lost something and he gave up hope on it, it's no longer his anymore. Right? That's a special halacha peculiar to aveda, not like theft. So the Ramban says, even if you decide to be a good guy afterwards and return it to him after he gave up hope, it's too late, because a theft is different than taking someone's lost object. As if someone has something stolen and he gives up hope, he still has ownership over it. It's still, he still has rights to at least collect the money for it. He might not be his to be makdish, it's not in his possession anymore, but he has rights over it. He has monetary rights over it. But if someone loses something and he gives up hope on it, so in that, at that point in time, it's no longer his. And if this other person took it in order to steal it, at that point in time when the owner gives up hope, so now he no longer has any mitzvah to return it at all. And if he returns it, he's giving him a present. Right, that's what the Ramban says. And now the Ramban has a good kash on this, and he gives a famous answer that will come up, and we had mentioned it in the past a little bit. The Ramban asks, how is this different than any other aveda? We know the rule is we hold of yush shalomidas. That means that the only time you could take something that keep something for yourself, an aveda that someone lost, is if the owner gave up hope of recovering it before you picked it up. But if you picked it up before he realized that he lost it, or before he gave up hope on recovering it, even if he knows he lost it, and then you're holding it and he gives up hope later and you still haven't found the owner at that time, you're a good guy, you're trying to return it, but you put the signs up and he didn't come back to you, and then you still have it a year or two later and for sure he's given up hope by now, the loch is you still can't keep it, because since when you the surah of Aliyah, since it came to your hands before he had given up hope, it was still his at that time, and then it's only when it's in your hands, he gave up hope. So the halacha is that you still have to return it. You can't find him, so you just keep on holding it until he finally comes, but you can't keep it. It's not yours. If you find it after he's lost it for 2 years, then you're allowed to keep it. But if you found it early and then 2 years came went by and you did what was right, you were trying to announce it and you returned and you did everything you could, and he still didn't come, it's still you're not allowed to keep it for yourself. It's anavedus. The Ramban asks, so if that's the case, what's the difference in our case over here? So what? In the beginning he was planning on stealing it. And you're telling me, well, because it's an Aveda, and then he gave up hope on it, it's now no longer his, and when you return it to him, you haven't accomplished anything. So why isn't it that by any Aveda? If you pick it up before he gave up hope, and then later he gives up hope, we should say that at that point in time it becomes yours, and you should be able to keep it. The Ramban answers, and Yeshiva says this is based on last week's share. What happens when you pick up an Aveda to return it? Right, so like you said before, when you pick up an Aveda to return it, you become a shomer of the owner. Now, the Ramban holds, and this is subject to discussion, the Ramban holds, if you give up hope of something that is in your, is really in your backyard, and you give up hope that you lost it, and you, it happens to be in your house, you don't lose ownership over it. You only lose ownership over something you give up hope that you lost that's not in your possession. It's out in the street somewhere. But if it's, you know, you're looking all over for your watch and you can't find it, and then someone comes in the house and finds your watch, you can't keep it, because even though you gave up hope of finding it, it's still in your house.
So
the Ramban says that if you pick it up in order to return it, so you become a shomer of this owner. And when he gives up hope, he's giving up hope of something that's still in his possession because someone's watching it for him. But in the case where the person picked it up to steal it, so then he's not, doesn't become a shomer of that other person. It's like it's, the Ramban says, it's like it's sitting on the ground there. And when the person gives him up, he does lose ownership of it. So in that case, returning it doesn't accomplish anything. And then Steve explains that based on last week's shiur, when you're watching it for him, it's considered like it's mishdamer. It's like it's mishdamer legamri, and it's not an aveda anymore, right? Yeah, it could be that Yish will work on any aveda. If it's really lost, maybe it'll work even if it's in the person's possession. But if it's mishdamer, then it's not an aveda. By definition, it's not an aveda, and Yish only works for something that's an aveda. So if the person picked it up in order to return it, and then the owner gave up hope, it's funny. It's a little ironic that when he wanted to do good by picking it up to return it, it works against him. That when the owner gives up hope, it doesn't help him any. He has to keep it until a yo comes. If he was picking it up in order to steal it, so now he's not considered the owner's watchman, and when the owner gives up hope, it now becomes into his possession. I mean, ultimately it's bad for him because he's going to have this aveiro on his account, and he can't do anything with it. So that's what the Ramban holds. But at any rate, we now have a machlokus. In this case, if someone picks up something in order to steal it, and then the owner gives up hope of recovering it, and you return it to the owner, what's the halacha? Have you accomplished any work before that? If you pick it up and he gives up hope, and now you do tshuva, is there any point in returning it to the? Is there any obligation to return it to the owner? So according to the Ramban, there is no obligation to return it because he's given up hope of it already. So there's no mitzvah hashavas aveda or hashavas agzel. It's not like a regular gezel. And because here it was a lost object and there was yush. And lazuchul salim certainly you won't accomplish. So you might as well keep it. You're not accomplishing anything by returning it. There might be the mishras I didn't, but we're talking to the best and won't be able to force you to return it. But according to Tosfos doesn't go with all this lumness. He says, what do you mean? You found this object and when you return it, you. And the Gemara is just saying that you can't undo the one aveira, the negative of not hiding yourself from returning something, but the others you can undo. Now how do we pass on the Shulchan Aruch says in the beginning, the first halacha in Hashavas Aveda, Haroa Avedas Yisrael, if someone finds a Jewish Aveda, Chai, an Aveda of a Jew, Chai v'tapavo l'hashiv l'abelaho, he has to try his best to return it to his owner, Shinema, like the Pasuk says, Hashav Toshivim, you have to return it. If he took it, planning on stealing it, and the owners had not yet given up hope from it, then he's violated the mitzvah, so to say, of returning it to your brother. Umishim lo sikhsu, he's also violated the aveira of stealing, and also the third aveira, umishim lo sikhsu le sali, right? Like the Gemara says. And then the Shulchan Aruch concludes, afilu im yachzirena acharkach, even if he returns it afterwards, meaning after the owners have given up hope, kvar avar al lo sikhsu le hisali. He's violated lo sikhsu le hisali. So Shulchan Aruch is clearly going like Tosfos, that all he has, lo sikhsu le hisali, he can't correct. But he does have an obligation to correct the other two aveiras of returning the stolen object and returning the aveda. The Shach brings the Ramban, who says that when he returns it, he doesn't accomplish anything. And he says that's also the mashma of the Shad in our Gemara, because the Gemara says it's a matoni, he's giving him a present. And Lamaisa, the Shulchan Aruch Rav, says, since he says most people disagree with the Ramban, most Rishonim disagree with the Ramban, and it's a din d'oraisa here, whether you should return it, it's a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa to return it, or a lo sikhsu you want to undo, it's a saseh to return the exeil. So since it's a machlokas Rishonim, and most Rishonim hold like the Shulchan, and it is the Shulchan Aruch, so he says, the Shulchan Aruch Rav says we should certainly return it in such a case. Right, that's the first part that I wanted to do. A case that hopefully won't be nogeya lemaisa, but we need to know what the three mitzvahs that are operative over here. Let's just go back to the Gemara and finish the Gemara, and then we'll see the next case. Okay, the Gemara has two other cases first, and then we'll come back to this case. Netola lefnei yiyush amanas lahagzira. If the person was trying to do what was right, he was taking it before the owner had. Right, he saw the coin fall. And he says, oh, he lost his coin, and I pick it up and return it to him. In the meantime, he got lazy, and he waited a week or so, and now he decides, I'm not going to return it, I'll just hold it for myself. He decides to steal it. So now, at this point, the only thing he has violated is the mitzvah of returning it. He's not liable for those sigs over stealing, because Rashi explains stealing is when you take something from someone's property in order to steal it. Here, when he took it, he was planning on doing what was good. It's later, and when it was already in his possession, he decided to withhold it. That's not lo sikhsu. And he's not in violation of lo sikhsu l'salim, hiding himself, because he didn't hide himself. He was planning on taking it. It's only now that he has the mitzvah to return it, and he decides not to return it, he's violated the mitzvah of hashiv tishivim. The third case, which is going to be more nogeya us, he waited until the owners gave up hope. He stood there waiting for the owners to give up hope, and then he took it. So what happens then is it's not in the owner's possession. He has yush, and you're allowed to keep it. Right? It's not in the owner's possession anymore. The only thing he's done wrong there is losuch l'salim, because at that, when he sees it there, he has a mitzvah to pick it up and not to hide himself from returning it. So he didn't. He's violated, but he's not violated anything else. Those are the three cases that the Gemara here talks about. Now there's a halacha.
Can you just clarify the difference between those last two cases?
The first case, he picked it up properly, and then later decided to steal it.
After years.
The third case is, he didn't pick it up until the owners were miyayish, and at that point he's allowed to keep it for himself, because there's nothing more to be done anymore.
Okay. Oh, I see. I'm sorry.
Okay. Right, so now let's talk about the second case, our case. And we'll talk about, the Gemara didn't talk about any of these, but we'll try to apply it. What happens if he was planning, he didn't pick it up, like the Gemara's last case, he didn't pick it up, and by not picking it up, it got lost. Right? The case we're talking about. Now, the Mogen Avraham has a halacha. He says that if you're a shomer, let's go back to the halachas of a shomer. If you're a shomer, and you're watching someone's bread, and Pesach is coming, so what are you supposed to do? So the halacha is, you're supposed to sell it, because if you don't sell it, it's going to be aser b'hana, and you'll cause them a loss. Now Magen Avraham says that if you fail to sell it in time, and Pesach came while the bread was still in your possession, you're chayv to pay, because you're a shomer chinam. So you're a shomer chinam, and this is a pshia. Now what's the raya? The raya is from this Gemara that we learned last year, that if you're shomer chinam, watching someone's goats, animals, and the fox are coming to take it away, and you don't do anything about it, you don't take, and you could have taken a stick to chase it away, and you failed to do that, so that's called a pshia, that's called negligence, and you're liable to pay because of shomer chinam, even though you're watching it for free, but you're responsible for negligence. And here, since you could have chased away those predators and you didn't, you are chayav for pshia. So the Magen Avraham says there's no difference between, in the case where these predators are coming to eat up the animals, and you fail to prevent them from coming, that's called negligence, that's called pshia, for which the Gemara says clearly that you have to pay. So same thing over here. Pesach is coming. Pesach, the predator, it's coming to destroy this person's pikadon, this person's bread, liquor, whatever it is that's going to be usher, and you fail to take the precautions to save it for him. So the Magen Avraham says you'll be chayev as for negligence for not taking that action. Now all the Achronim disagree with it. They say there's a difference between the case of the animals where the predators are coming and the chametz when Pesach is coming.
And maybe by there you can drive away the predator.
Right.
You can't drive away Pesach. You can do something to make it that Pesach won't affect the chametz.
So the Mishnah Berurah says the difference very well. I mean, it's what you're saying, but he says it.
It's going to come no matter what.
Okay, so the fox are coming no matter what. Also, the lions are coming no matter what. Also, and he brings from, he says all that fun in the base Meir, Devin Ozer, and Mate Yura. They all argue with the Magen Avraham. And they say there's a big difference. When you are watching the chametz, let's see the Mishnah in Bava Metzia. Mishnah Lamech Ches says, "Hamafkid peiros etzel chaveiro." If you have peiros that your friend is watching for you, you have fruits, produce. Afilo hein avudim, even if they're becoming ruined, right? They're spoiling, or the mice are eating a certain amount of them. Lo yigav, and you're not allowed to touch it. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, "Mochan mifnei bes." You should sell them in the presence of a court. Mimneishu kameishav aveda levayil, because by doing so, you're returning a loss that's a din of hashavas aveda. We're going to learn that just like hashavas aveda is not limited to the person lost his object in the street and you pick it up. It's also he left his lights on in his car. He's losing money, and you have a way that you can help him save money. So you have to do that also. And the Gemara says that really, even the Tanakam would agree that if the loss is great, there's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda to return it. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says that's because we're not talking about the Pshi over here. It's only Hashavas Aveda. If you're watching lions, if you're watching sheep and lions are coming, so your job is to protect those lions and chase away anything that's going to hurt the lions, because you have to return these lions to the owner. If you fail to do that when you could have, that's negligence. Right? Your job over here is to watch the chametz and make sure that no one eats it and it doesn't get ruined and no one steals it. But Pesach coming, that's not what you're meant to do. In fact, the Mishnah puts it, when you sell it, you do the opposite of what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be watching this person's sheep, and you say, "I'm going to go sell them for him. I don't want you to sell them. I want you to wash my sheep." You're supposed to be washing my chametz. You go and sell it. That's not washing it for me. That's the opposite of what I want. Oh, but what are you doing? But if you don't sell it, I'm going to suffer a loss. So what you're doing then is a mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. And to do a mitzvah Hashavas Aveda, that's something that's important. Right, so the Mishnah Berurah concludes, though. So you're right. There's a mitzvah to do Hashavas Aveda, but suppose you decide not to do Hashavas Aveda, right? So you didn't become a shomer chinam yet. If you choose not to pick up the Aveda, so you're not a shomer chinam, right? You're not a shomer chinam yet because you didn't pick it up. So the Mishnah Berurah says over here he did something that was wrong. Right? You're supposed to sell it. Like the Mishnah says, he's supposed to sell something because of Hashavas Aveda. But if you fail to do so, that's not called negligence as part of your job to watch the object, because there's nothing you can do about the object. The object is fine, it's Pesach's coming, and what you need to do is protect the person from suffering a loss from an outside source. But the object, the chametz that you're guarding, is in fine shape. You're doing what you can for it. Your mitzvah is, and so if you fail to watch it, then a fire came and burnt it down, so that would be a pshia, because you didn't guard it, you can't return it. Over here, you say, look, here's your chametz, I'm giving it back to you, I did a good job watching it. But what you didn't do was, you didn't save me a loss of money. And for that, the Mishnah Berurah says, you can't litigate to force him to pay. And this Tzion B'Mishpat, this contemporary, he's a grandson of the Kachachayim, he says, and that also becomes from the last Gemara that we just learned, that if, when you steal, when you take the person's object in order to steal it, and then it's too late to return the object, we say, you're not chai to pay any money for it, we said that, you know, there's nothing left, it's a matoni you're giving to him. So certainly if you didn't take it to start with, and you fail to do the mitzvah l'suchu l'salin, we can't force you to pay because you didn't do what was right, but we can't force him to pay for such a mistake that he made. Right? So that's, I think, clear. Rogan Avraham disagrees, but it seems the consensus I have written down here, the many other Afronim, down to the Mishpura, says that they don't understand the Rogan Avraham, that there's a difference between being a shomer, chasing away the animals to protect those sheep that you're watching, than selling the chametz, which is what you're supposed to be watching. That's a Shabbos Aveda, and for that you're not chayav. The last issue, though, is okay, so you can't take him to a Din Torah and win anything there, but for you to be a good guy, do you have any obligation to be Yosei Dinei Shamayim to return it? Is there anything wrong that you did, or is there anything correctable that you did, or is you did something wrong, you didn't do the mitzvah, but is there anything you could do, is there any reason to at least return that object? Now, what's it dependent upon? It would seem to depend, right? We learned many years ago that there's a din of a mazik. If you damage someone, you have to pay. There's garmi. If you directly cause a damage, you also have to pay. But if you do something that's a grama, it's a cause, it's a causative damage, so that's also something that you can't litigate in court. You can't force someone to pay in court. However, the Gemara says that, in fact, let's read the Mishnah. It's the Braisa and Baba Kama, Nun Hayam and Beis. The Braisa lists four cases where it's called a grama. It's a causative damage for which you can't make someone pay. Arba Devarim Ha'osa Osan Pater Midin Hashem. There's four things that if a person does, he's pater from a court down here in our own earth. But Chayiv Midin Hashemayim. But even though he's potter down here, there's a din to be chai v'din yishamayim ve'elohin, and these are they. Hafaritz gadim ne'beim es chaveiro. If his friend's animal's in the backyard and you open up the fence and the animal runs out, so you cause that damage. So that's causative. Then it says, ha-socher ha-kofim kamasish chaveiro v'nei. There's a fire which would bypass this person's field, but he decides to bend over the grain so the fire will catch it and then it destroys the field. That's also causative. He hires false witnesses to testify against his friend, which causes him a damage. And finally, you know this person has a court case coming up and you could testify to help him win and you fail to do so, so he can't take you to a Din Torah for causing him that loss. It's a grama. But b'dinei shamayim, to do what's right, b'dinei shamayim, it's something that Besen can't force you to do, but in shamayim, they want you to return that money that you caused, for that loss that you caused. So that's grama. If you cause a damage, so you can't be forced to pay in a Din Torah, but the Din Torah will tell you, the Dayanim will say, we can't force you to pay, but you should know that there's a din, that b'dinei shamayim, you did what was wrong, and in shamayim, they want you to pay. So that's the question. Does that apply over here for Shabbos Aveda? If I fail to take his coat inside, do we say that I caused a damage and therefore I should have to pay for it, at least Bidei Shamayim? So there's two ways, that's one way of looking at it, a damage. Another way of looking at it, though, is to say I didn't cause the damage. What did I do here? I had the opportunity to do a mitzvah of a Shabbos Aved. I could have done a chesed. Like, suppose someone comes and asks me, you know, calls me up, can I do him a favor and take him, you know, he needs a ride. His car's not working, he needs a ride to go somewhere. I say, I'm sorry, I'm busy, or I just don't want to. And because of that, he ends up not being there in time to do something, and it costs him a loss of money. So no one's going to say that that's a grum of benazin. That's not like I put a breach in his wall and his animals ran out. There, I did something wrong to him. Over here, I failed to do a chesed. I didn't do a chesed. Not doing someone a favor is not causative damage. Even if your failure to do that favor causes him a loss at the end, but it's not that you caused him that loss, you didn't do a favor. Causative damage is when you do something bad that results in something occurring to him that's costly. Right, that's the second way to look at it. How do we look at Hashavas Veda? Is it something that it's called that, look, I caused the damage, you have folks over there, and I could return it, I didn't return it, that's caused it a damage? Or do we say, well, I failed to do a chesed? The Ramban, in his Kuntres Dina de Garmi, he has a whole Kuntres to say what's called real damage, what's causative. So he wants to say that why is it when I fail to testify to help out my friend win his case, why is that called causative? He says, because I don't have any monetary obligation to testify for him. There's a chesed, and there's gemilas chasodim I should do with him. If I fail to do a chesed, so I don't have to pay. I don't have to pay in dinei adam for that. And he says, what's it like? Lamaza dama lemisharo kisa shachaveiro uvat. If I see someone's wallet that was lost, veinu masila, I don't save it. Lemisharo lichin frutulani, if I don't want to give a pruta to a poor person. She'ein bezin mechayvin osa bekach. Bezin won't make him chayiv for that. Now the Ramban is equating the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda to the failure to testify. And by doing that, the contemporary Achronim say, Vizchei Choshen, Mishpatei Torah, Hashavas Aveda Kol Chasa say, by doing so, he's saying that just like, and this certainly he's doing, just like in the Gemara of Mishnah, the Brisa of Bava Kama says, if you don't testify for someone, you're Chaya Dinei Shemayim. So same thing, if you fail to return someone's Aveda, you should also be Chaya Dinei Shemayim. And they understand that even though he's saying, going through this whole Svara, that's Gemilas Chasodim, but they call that it's Grama. He's just saying that it's Gemilas Chasodim, that it shouldn't be called a real Mazik. It's a real damage. It's not Garmi even. But it's still called causative damage. And therefore, you should have to pay Bidei Shemayim. The Sinan of Mishpat doesn't seem to understand the Ramban that way, and it's hard to hear the Ramban that way. And he has a different shot in the Ramban, how he comes out to say why the Ramban might be holding, he might hold that it's Lifnei Mishuras Adin, that we learned that if someone's Zokin Vein of Yichavodos, the needs of dignity, we learned that Rabbi Shmuel paid for the object, and rather than return it, so there, you see there is some Lifnei Mishuras Adin to pay for an object, even when you're not Chai for Hashavas Aveda, so then to be Yosei Dei Shemayim, to do that, that's why he understands what the Ramban means. But at any rate, from the Ramban's equation of Hashavas Aveda to a failure to testify, and then Brisa says, if you fail to testify, we can't take you to court for it, but the Bezdin, but the Bidei Shemayim, you should do what's right. So that's the way we would say also by Hashavas Aveda, even though no one could take you to court to force you to pay for that object that you failed to return, but still you'd be chayiv Bidei Neshamayim to return it. So that's these halachas over here. It's, once again, if someone stole it and then returned it too late, so we had this machlokas tosis in the Ramban, whether you have accomplished nothing or whether you accomplished maybe only the mitzvah of returning a lost object and returning a gzeilah, you certainly cannot correct. And if you took it, by the way, also this is a poskim say, if you take it and you don't return it in time, and you plan on returning it, but you don't return it in time, that was this other halach we saw in the Gemara. We said that if you don't return it in time, so we said if you plan on stealing it, so then you don't you violated Hashet Teshivim. The same thing could be if even if you plan on returning it, but you wait for a few weeks until he's given up hope, and then you return it also, that's not such a good thing. You should return it right away. We'll learn how to in the coming weeks. But back to our case, if you fail to return an Aveda that you should have, and because of that the owner had a loss, we saw the Magen Avraham seems to say that that's called a negligence, that he'll be chayiv for because he's like a shomer. The other Achronim, well, and at least in that case where you were watching something, the Achronim, they disagree, and it could be even the Magen Avraham would agree, if it's a pure Aveda that you failed to return, so that's not something that you're chayiv for because you didn't become a shomer yet, and you can't be chayiv for negligence. That's Dinei Adam, though. We said, though, in conclusion, it seems that from the Ramban, it would be that there would be a mitzvah at least to the Yossi De Shamayin and return the object anyway, or the object is lost now because you didn't return it, so at least pay for it. And when we're saying pay, you pay for the what it's worth now. Well, you don't have to, whenever you're mazik, when you damage, if it's a used code, you don't have to pay for what it cost 5 years ago, you pay what it's worth now. And that would be something that would be the right thing to do.